on behalf of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and all of the great Acharyas of the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, we are performing this most sacred and auspicious ceremony of initiation. We have chanted the mantra, Om Apavitra Apavitrova Sarabhavastam Gatopiva Yasmaret Pundarikaksam Sabhayabhyantarasuchi. This verse means purified or unpurified, or even having passed through all situations of life, one who remembers the beautiful lotus-eyed Supreme Personality of Godhead is purified from within and without. This is the purpose of human life, purification. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunai Sravanadi Sudhicheti Kuriyayudhoi. That love of God is dormant within the heart of every living being. It is our nature to be in the ecstatic happiness of loving service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. But since time immemorial, we have forgotten who we are, what we are supposed to be doing, and what is our real wealth. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed the original spiritual master, Nityananda Prabhu, along with the Namacharya Haridas, to give a simple message to everyone and anyone without discrimination. They would go door to door, bathing ghat to bathing ghat, store to store, house to house, village to village, repeating this message. Chant the holy names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Speak about Krishna. Anyone who does this becomes my very life and soul. Krishna is your mother. Krishna is your father. Krishna is the real treasure of your wealth. Krishna is your very life and soul. Take the name of Krishna. They gave this message to everyone they met. And whoever accepted this message with faith and practiced it became purified. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagni nirvapanam. The name of God is none different than Krishna himself. Kalikale namarupe Krishna avatar. That Krishna has descended, he has incarnated within his own holy name. Nam namakari bahuta nija sarva shaktish. And all the power, all the potencies of the Lord, all the sweetness, opulence of Krishna is within the name. A name of Krishna is Pavitra, which means supremely pure. It is the law of nature that what we associate with, we become that. Prabhupada gave example, if you put iron rod in fire, the iron rod takes on the quality of fire. And if you still think it's an iron rod, then touch it, my friend, and see what happens. It is none different than touching the fire. Similarly, if you put iron rod in ice, it will become as cold as ice. What we associate with, we become. According to our free will, we must decide what we want to associate with. There are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. According to our association, we develop those qualities. But human life is meant for a special benediction. If we associate with the all pure, pavitra, we become purified. And how do we associate with Krishna? By remembering him. And the easiest, most accessible way to always remember Krishna is to take his holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. There are 9 processes of devotional service. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya asked Lord Chaitanya, of these 9 processes, which is most important? Lord Chaitanya immediately replied, the chanting of the holy names. Hadarnama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo, Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. Now, anybody could have their own opinion of what is the most effective means of self-realization. But the scripture is the word of God. According to the Shastras, in the age of Kali, there is no other way, no other way, no other way of attaining the ultimate perfection except the chanting of the holy names. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Kaler Dosanide Raja Nastihe Makkamahan Guna. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Paramrajait. This age of Kali is like an ocean of faults. But there is one benediction. Simply chanting the holy names, one can attain the perfection of liberation. Not just liberation, but the perfection of liberation, which is unconditional, unmotivated, loving service to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the great sages worship Kali Yuga as the best of all times, because the Lord makes himself so accessible, so easily approached in this age through the holy names. But in order to take to this process properly, accepting spiritual master is very important. And the vows that you are taking today is really the beginning of your spiritual life. Prabhupada explained initiation means to begin. But if we want to take it seriously, we must prepare even to begin. Today, we are celebrating Gita Jayanti. Nirantra Prabhu will be reciting the entire text of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in a few minutes. Bhagavad Gita is what Prabhupada called Gita Upanishad, the summary, essence of all Vedic literatures. Even the greatest thinkers of the Western world have praised Bhagavad Gita as a monumental masterpiece, as if an entire empire is speaking. Thoreau and Emerson claimed that in comparison to this one book, the 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, all the libraries of all Western literature appear trivial and insignificant. Srila Prabhupada taught us that if we want to understand the knowledge of Gita, we must follow in the footsteps of Arjuna. Who is Arjuna? Arjuna is Krishna's eternal associate. He's not like you and me. He was Krishna's dearest friend. They would sit together. They would laugh together. They would sometimes lay down in a bed together. They would joke together. They would eat together. In fact, Krishna gave his own sister to Arjuna in marriage. They were very, very close. And Krishna accepted the position of a menial servant, chariot driver of Arjuna. But in order to instruct the world, Krishna put his own devotee in a position, in a condition that was exactly like every living being in material creation. Arjuna accepted our role for our benefit. Thus, Krishna put him in yogamaya, or temporary illusion. In Kurukshetra, the two armies were assembled, the Kurus and the Pandavas. One family divided by envy and intrigue. Arjuna was impelled by Krishna in his heart to tell Krishna, please, let us see who is fighting today before we begin. Bring my chariot between the two armies. Krishna brought the chariot between the two armies and said, Arjuna, just see. When he said, just see, Arjuna saw. On the enemy's side was his grandfather, who he loved more than his own life, Bhishma Dev. His teacher, Drona, who taught him so many of the gifts that he was going to be using to fight. There were relatives, friends, well-wishers. His uncle, Salya, who he loved dearly. And then he looked on his side and there were his brothers and his well-wishers. Arjuna became perplexed, bewildered. He proclaimed to Krishna, I'm not going to fight this war. Now Arjuna was more learned than any person is in the world today. He was presenting logical, scientific, social, philosophical arguments why he should not fight. He presented moral, ethical arguments. And actually, they were really excellent arguments. He was trying to figure out what was the best thing to do. But due to the circumstance, Arjuna became so perplexed. He was weeping tears. He was white in complexion. He was trembling. His Gandiva bow fell from his hands. His hairs were standing on end. And then Arjuna revealed our situation. We all think we know what we're doing, just like Arjuna did. But when he actually became a little sober, he realized that he didn't know. He was confused. He did not know what was to be done or not to be done. Karapanya doso pahatasva bhava prachchamitvam dharma samudacheha yachtrayasya nashchitan bruhitan me shishasti hamsarimam tvam papanam. With folded hands, trembling, with an urgent need for direction, for guidance, for mercy, Arjuna turned to Krishna. I am confused about my duty. I do not know what is to be done and what is not to be done. I have lost all composure due to weakness of heart. Now I am your disciple. Please instruct me. Arjuna was not asking Krishna for direction out of curiosity, out of formality. There was an urgent, desperate need in his heart. He understood, I do not know. He surrendered to Krishna. To the degree a disciple has this consciousness, to that degree, their hearts are receptive for transcendental knowledge. Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken in a similar way. Parikshit Maharaj was cursed to die in 7 days. When he was sitting on the bank of Ganga before his guru, Sukadeva Goswami, it was not just out of curiosity or formality that he was listening. It was life or death. It was urgent. There was a need. This should be the consciousness of a proper disciple. And when Krishna saw Arjuna in this situation, he smiled because he understood now Arjuna could actually be delivered because he has become humble. This world, by nature, is full of complexities and perplexities. Srila Prabhupada gives the example, just like in a forest, nobody has to come and start the fire. But it starts anyway. Here in Southern California, I think you have some experience of forest fires. How do you put them out? They're so, once they blaze, they're impossible. So this whole material existence is considered to be like a forest fire. If your house is on fire, you get out. You get out fast because you understand it's an urgent need. You grab your children and get out. It is with this type of urgency, with this type of enthusiasm and sincerity, that Maharaj Parikshit, Arjuna, and any other proper disciple is approaching their spiritual masters. That is the proper consciousness. Yes, Krishna smiled because he understood, now that Arjuna has been sobered up by the natural evolution of the complexities of material life, he can hear submissively. Krishna tells Arjuna, first thing, that you are speaking learned words, but actually you are a fool. You are lamenting for that which is not worthy of lamentation. Never was there a time when I did not exist, nor you, nor all these kings, nor in the future shall any of us cease to be. Krishna began by explaining to Arjuna the eternal nature of the soul. We are not the body. We are part of God. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains how the soul becomes entangled in the bodily conception of life, due to the three modes of material nature and the endless perplexities that impel the person to act and speak in certain ways that bind him or her in karmic reactions. Birth after birth after birth, trying to be happy in this material world. Abrama bhupana loka punar avartanojana mamupetya tu kontya punar janmana vidyate. If anybody knows how the world works, it's the Creator. Krishna explains, from the highest planet in this material existence down to the lowest, they're places of misery. Why? Because everything is temporary. Death will come upon everyone and anyone. Death of ourselves, death of our loved ones. But this human life is so precious, so rare. Within these few years we have, we can actually realize our eternal nature. Janma karma cha medivyam evam yoveti tatvata tyaktva deham punarajanma naiti mameti sorjuna. We can realize that state beyond death. We can attain the eternal natural world of love, the Lord's abode, simply by understanding Krishna. Manmanabhava madbhakto madhyajim nam namaskuru. Mami vaishyashi satyam te prati jani priyoshim. Krishna tells, he promises, always think of me, become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me, and this way you will come to me without fail. It is my promise. And he's speaking to you and me personally, directly. Arjuna is representing us. He's speaking to you. So if transcendental knowledge is actually going to be transferred, the disciple has to be in the spirit of Arjuna with a desperate need. Tadvidi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. We must be humble, submissive, inquire with that submission, and eager to carry out what we hear by rendering service. There are many examples of this. Sanatana Goswami, the most learned scholar alive at the time. But when he approached Lord Chaitanya, he said, I do not know anything. I do not know who I am. I do not know why I'm suffering. I do not know where I'm going. And yet people call me a scholar and I believe them. That's what a sinful, fallen fool I am. Now I am approaching you, my guru. Please instruct me. That is the consciousness. Srila Prabhupada explained, do not try to keep guru like a picture on the wall. The relationship is based on the eagerness to hear and the determination to serve. There was one initiation where a devotee took the vows, took the beads, threw the seeds in the fire, and shortly after left. When Srila Prabhupada was told that, Prabhupada said, he was never initiated. Because real initiation is of the heart. It's not just a formality. It's not just a ritual. Krishna's within our heart, and he's reciprocating with our motives, with our purpose, with our sincerity. It is that commitment to the life of purification under the guidance of Guru Parampara that is the real spirit of initiation. The formality of taking the vows is very important. Taking vows gives us strength, it helps us to make us more serious, and it also gives us a formal connection to the mercy of the Parampara. But really, that connection is in reciprocation to our sincerity, to our surrender. Yea, Krishna explains in Gita, as you surrender unto me, I reveal myself accordingly. So let us discuss for a few moments what is really the spirit of initiation. Lord Chaitanya took the role of a devotee. When he took initiate, first thing, he just did menial service for his guru. He didn't even begin the Harinam Sankirtan movement until his guru ordered him to do so. Then he gave his life and soul to do that. Service is the nature of the heart. to take is an artificial imposition created by Maya. We are meant to serve. It is our constitutional nature. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us what type of servant we should be. Gopi Bharatur Padakamalayoda Dasa 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 Anudas, the servant of the servant of the servant. So this is really what you are making your vow to do today. To live by this spirit of service, devotional service. And Krishna, he is Jagat Guru. And Parampara means the spiritual master is simply representing Krishna. We understand Srila Prabhupada's position in our movement as the founder Acharya. It was his sacrifice. It was his compassion. It was his love that made the highest treasure of love of Krishna available to all of us. Otherwise, it was simply inaccessible. Krishna empowered Srila Prabhupada in such a historical, extraordinary way to spread the holy names of the Lord and the pure philosophy of Bhagavad Gita to every continent of the world. Therefore, he is the founder Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He is the preeminent guru in all of the lives of the members of our society. And all of Prabhupada's disciples are working together to assist him in his glorious mission. What is ISKCON? ISKCON is not simply a religious institution. ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada's life and soul. It is his life's offering to his guru, the entire parampara, and ultimately Radha Shyam Sundar. Therefore, he said ISKCON was his body. However many difficulties, however many mistakes, if we want to reciprocate with Srila Prabhupada's love, it behooves us to work together to make his offering to the Guru Parampara and to Sri Radharani and Krishna what he wants it to be. A glorious society giving such pure association, sustaining, protecting, and developing love. Love of Krishna in people's hearts. That is what ISKCON is. So please, all of you who are taking initiation together, respect, honor all of Srila Prabhupada's servants, your Shiksha Gurus, your Diksha Guru, and all the senior Vaishnavas. Do not think that I just have one guru and I don't have to listen to anyone else. Prabhupada would not even tolerate that in his own life. He commanded that we follow, honor, respect those who he was empowering to be his representatives. So it is very important to honor our Shiksha Gurus, respect them, and follow them. Because who are our Shiksha Gurus? They are all working in harmony with our Diksha Guru to please Srila Prabhupada by assisting him in his glorious mission. Take your vows very seriously. In fact, what you are about to do today is the most serious thing you have ever done in your life. You're going to vow to chant at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to purify our hearts, minimum, every day. We're going to vow to follow four regulative principles: no illicit sex, no intoxication, no gambling, and no meat eating. Why? Because these activities are pillars of sin and illusion. They corrupt our heart from the true sweetness of loving service. When we follow the four regulative principles carefully and chant the holy names, great purification takes place. But you're also taking vow to following in the footprints of Srila Prabhupada and his followers, to be the servant of the servant of the servant. And if you live by these principles and take them very, very seriously, Srila Prabhupada promised that we will go back to Godhead in this life. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also gave that promise. Just follow my instructions sincerely, you will go back to Godhead. So please, take this chanting of the holy names very seriously. Take these moral principles very seriously. We should take these vows as our life and soul. Very serious. To the degree you take it serious, to that degree you will make spiritual progress. On behalf of Srila Prabhupada and our beloved Acharyas of Guru Parampara, we will be giving you entrance into our wonderful family, eternal family, whose origin is Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan. And now we would like to request His Holiness Giriraj Swami Maharaj to explain the importance of the chanting of the holy names. Thank you very much.